Good morning, everybody, and what a privilege this morning. One of our last shows for this series. We're very excited and very privileged for the success. So on that note, thank you for everybody that's helped us get where we are today. And this morning we've got Gary Tine, or GT, commonly referred to in the market, or in the industry, known for. And we've got Srikshan here with us, another big OEM in the world that plays a massive role in golf. I think we all remember the Masters of Hideki not too long ago, which was one of the most special moments in golf when the caddy bent down or bent towards the flag.
Gave his respect.
Gave his respect. And I think in that moment, it was such a human moment where everybody just, you felt the cultural respect that he did on that day. And Srikshan has played a big role, not just in golf, but also massive business around the world and different. And this morning, we want to introduce you a little bit to the brand. I know that you've probably engaged with them in retail. You've probably seen GT and spoken to GT a few times. But there's a lot of technicalities in what you do. You've positioned yourself in such a brilliant way. And this morning, we want to humanize your brand. And hopefully, after people listen to this, Srikshan is a different perspective for them. And they understand a little bit more as to why they would go towards the brand. So welcome, GT. And thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you. Thank you, Albert. Arthur, thanks, gents, for having me on the show. We really do appreciate the opportunity to expose our brand to the public. Thanks very much.
Pleasure. And Arthi?
Yeah.
I keep saying welcome, but you're on the show.
Yeah.
So nice to see you again.
It's taken a while to get him in the hot seat.
Yeah.
He's a busy man. High in demand, but it's great to have him here.
Yeah, sorry about the delay. Guys, unfortunately, we've just launched a new product this month, so it has been quite a busy month. We'll get into it later and chat about the new product as well. I'm really excited about it.
Well, it's almost like you played hard to get. Well, GT, it's good to have you this morning here finally. And I'm interesting because I think that people are really going to see a different side of Srikshan this morning and understand a little bit, because we all understand the golf ball. I think very famous for the golf ball. We all understand the clubs. But tell us a little bit about the Srikshan brand. You know, where it originated from, and what's the sort of integrity and the sort of approach? What's the brand values? Yeah. You know, just give us a little bit of insight.
So just to give you a small bit of history on the company, it's quite interesting on how far we've gone over the years. I think back in 1997, a guy by the name of Mike Powell, he introduced Srikshan to South Africa. Initially, it was just a golf ball, and then eventually he started importing some gloves and some caps. And that was way back in 1997. The golf market was very competitive in those days, and nobody had actually even heard of Srikshan back in those days. So I think to Mike, he's done a fantastic job. Unfortunately, he's left us now. He's actually the marketing and sales director in the US. But we still have Louise Cooper and Mark O'Brien involved in the company. Mark joined in 1998 and Louise in 1999. So we've got a great family there. Obviously, you can see from the period these people have been working at Srikshan. It's a great company to work with. You know, there's really no reason to leave. And obviously, being a Japanese company, it's very integrity-based. It's very principle-based. We like to pride ourselves on the fact that we put our retailer first and our consumer first. And yeah, I mean, the company's just gone from strength to strength. And I think to see where we are today, to see the amount of growth we've achieved over the years is phenomenal.
You know, GT, when you said that now, everybody knows out of Japan, I'm mentioning to Toyota, and everybody knows the brand and the country to be a phenomenal country that makes some of the best stuff in the world. And also, if you look at development over all these years, Japan has always stood out as a nation that's always handled things so much better than most nations. And they invested into South Africa, and Mike Powell is also South African, leading it in America.
Correct, yeah.
So Srikshan, I mean, why is the family so involved with South Africans? Is it something that, how did a South African end up there? Just,
I think to answer your question there, it's just basically the job that Mike Powell and Louise and Mark did in the early days in really getting the brand on the map. I think he gained that respect from the Japanese, and I mean, from here, he went to Europe and head up Europe and then further to the US. But I think it's just purely based on the remarkable job that was done in South Africa that he gained that respect from the Japanese, and they've put him in these high positions.
And tell me, just on your cap, as everybody would see this morning, and I don't know if everybody would know that, but Cleveland, obviously we know it for great wages.
Yep.
But the relationship between Schwickson and Cleveland?
Yeah, so basically, just to go a little bit further into it, our holding company is a company called Sumitomo Rubbers in Japan, which is actually Dunlop. So again, mentioning what you mentioned earlier, that we really have a strict policy and a real love and desire to develop great product. There is very little tolerance levels, you can imagine, with Dunlop tires.
Yeah.
So I think the same goes into the fact that we make our golf balls and our golf clubs to the highest spec that we can. The Japanese take this very seriously. So basically, Schwickson is a Japanese company, and we bought Cleveland Golf, which was a US-based company, quite a few years ago. It was to establish a footprint in the US. And as today, Cleveland is one of our brands that we carry. We carry Schwickson, Cleveland, and a brand called Zexio. Cleveland is basically your country club brand, not too expensive, really, really great price points, but still got technology in the clubs. It is also our short game brand. So basically, our tour players will have Cleveland on the side of their caps purely because they're all using Cleveland wedges. Cleveland wedges, I'm sure a lot of the viewers will know and everybody understands, it's one of the longest standing and best selling wedges that you can get.
Why?
Just purely, again, I think I've been to the head office in the US, and as you walk in there, they have a really great looking display up there where they've got every single wedge that's been manufactured from the start. And you can see in all those wedges, I'm quite proud to say it, we're the leaders in most of the technologies that have occurred in wedges. We were one of the first wedge companies. When we started getting multiple colors in wedges, we were the first to do it.
Multiple colors?
Black.
Okay. So aesthetically, visually representing it, or visually so much nicer.
Basically, yeah. I mean, it's just giving more options to the player.
Yes.
I mean, the thing is with a satin wedge is people don't like it because the sun reflects into their eyes, so that's why the people sometimes choose a black wedge.
Yeah.
But just in terms of the technology, the grooves, everything, we were the leaders, which is always great. We were not the followers in no uncertain terms. We're the leaders in terms of the groove technology that we've come up with. I think the offering on Cleveland wedges is also unbelievable because we cater from a super game improvement point of view. Super game improvement meaning the guys ladies who are a bit of a higher handicap, right through to your middle handicap, right through to your low handicap. So we've got a wedge offering for every type of golfer out there. And ladies wedges, which I know a lot of competitor manufacturers don't actually make lady wedges, which we do.
What's the difference between a lady wedge?
Yeah, so basically it's purely in the shaft and the length of the club.
Okay.
Ladies' wedges come with a graphite shaft, and obviously the detail in the head is normally not the same as the men. We've probably got a little bit of pink in there for the ladies.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think just jumping in there as well, and I know he's not with you guys anymore, but Roger Cleveland obviously designed Cleveland wedges, if I'm not mistaken, GT.
Correct.
And he was the best designer of wedges known, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He's just got that stigma about making the best wedges. And he's not with you guys anymore, but he, I think, left a very good footprint in Cleveland wedges throughout the years.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
And Arthur, from your perspective, from a fitting perspective, when people come into the Fitment Center, where does Schwickson in a normal consumer mind lies?
I'll add Cleveland to this as well. So Schwickson for me is a very easy brand to fit. Okay. Their product is high quality. Their shaft spec is also very, very premium. I mean, the shafts that they offer in South Africa is what you see on TV. It's not cheap, cheap shafts, if you get what I'm saying.
The lightweight good shafts, quality,
they obviously got, they cater for everything, but from their graphite to their steel is very, very high quality. And it's almost a brand that I trust. It's something that is, let's call it a go-to. if I give a guy a Schickson set of irons and I fit him, or a Cleveland wedge, it's not a golf club that I'm going to give to the consumer and worry about, you know, he's not getting benefit out of it. He's not actually going to enjoy it. He's not, you know, it's a very trustworthy brand to fit, and I enjoy fitting it because it's reliable. Their quality is to the best.
Yeah.
And it just makes my job a lot more easier. And they cater also. They've got the ZX4 range, which is an oversize, if you had to call it. It's also a hollow body design.
Correct, yeah.
So gets the ball up in the air very, very easily. So for ladies and for senior golfers, all the way to their blades. I mean, it's just, they cater for everyone, and it's just very, very easy to work with the brand.
Now, GT, just from as Arthur was saying there, from an industry perspective, so you've got a lot of tour validated players that play with your clubs in South Africa. Just give us a little bit of insight into the players in, on the Sunshine Tour.
Yeah, correct. So I believe in total at the moment, Sunshine Tour, Elite Amateurs, Senior Tour, Ladies Tour, we're sponsoring, I think it's in the region of 51 players.
Okay.
In South Africa. And obviously, I mean, this is important for us. We've got some really great talent out here in South Africa. I think ultimately their goal was always to go and play overseas. But I think from a Strickson standpoint, they do a great job for us here in SA in giving us exposure. And for us sponsoring them obviously gives them that opportunity to really show their talents. And you'll see multiple players out there winning tournaments. I mean, I know Tandy Cunningham is doing
fantastically well.
Tandy McCullum.
Mm.
Tandy McCullum doing fantastically well with the ladies tour. And obviously, we've got a bunch of guys on the Sunshine Tour, great youngsters. We're trying to develop them. We're trying to get them to the next level.
Give them the opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, and besides that, we sponsor a lot of club professionals, which are also a very important part of the South African golf industry.
Yeah. And tell me, Strickson, I mean, just from a general consumer golf perspective, we've always heard, you know, when you were younger in golf, the forging and, you know, in Japan, and everybody understands, the history of forging in Japan. And I would say that's more from a sword perspective. And hear me out, but you've got this picture in your mind, almost this traditional people forging, putting it all together. So that's sort of what we've known it for. But in today's terms, where does Strickson lie in the consumer, the everyday amateur consumer mind? So tell us a little bit about the forging. Why is it different? Now, just hear me out. You've got this big brand, Dunlop, behind you. Okay, so we all know immediately Dunlop, insane quality from a tire perspective. You know, you'll probably say the first, you focus purely on the first tier of tire end consumers there. You know, you're certainly not going for the cheapest market on that. Then you've got brands like Toyota, which we mentioned. Everybody knows it for its quality. I mean, in South Africa, it's part of the culture. You go into a guy's bar and he's got Toyota on there somewhere. You know, who would have ever thought a Bucky would become this massive consumer brand or a car brand? So we all understand from that perspective. But why Strickson is so much different, and how do they compete against the rest of the guys, and how do you go up against a lot of these big OEMs which got this massive footprint in America, which then consumers relate to as the best? How do you fight that battle as from a sales perspective?
Yeah, so I suppose to answer your question there is, we are growing in the US at a rapid rate.
Yeah.
But basically, our foundation is really in Japan. Japan being the second biggest golf market in the world, that's where we are really established as the number one OEM in Japan. So, obviously, we're looking to make inroads into the US market, which is happening right now. In South Africa, we're in a fortunate position here to be really well known. As I mentioned earlier, the guys in the early days of Strickson did a real fantastic job of getting the brand out there. And I think it's just a question of, once you try it, once you use it, the consumer loves it. I mean, to get to your point on the irons, obviously I'm biased because I'm from Strickson, but the forging process in Japan when it comes to irons, I mean, there's a number of other brands, irons that are forged in Japan as well. But, for me, when you're getting to a better player's iron, I think that the feel of the iron is one of the most important factors when you're looking at a better player. You know, obviously you get other irons that are very forgiving, et cetera, but for a good golfer or for a tour golfer, you know, the feel of the iron is the most important thing. And for some reason, for me, my biased opinion is that the forging just feels better off the face when you're hitting the golf ball. Mm. Yeah, I mean, like you said earlier with Adeki, we've won some majors with our ZX7 range of iron, so it's certainly got some tour validation. And yeah, I mean, that's basically where we are with Strix and irons. I think I'm biased, but I think they're the best.
Yeah, and so Strix has got an incredible long history, because in the South African market, perception at least wise, is that most people play with a Strix golf ball. Your everyday amateur.
Yeah, we're in a fortunate position where in terms of a golf ball, we have what we call a two-piece golf ball, which, I mean, you might want to say is your middle-of-the-range golf ball. We do sell a large quantity of those golf balls in South Africa. They are very popular.
Is that your soft fields?
That would be your soft field, your 80-triple-3, your LT soft.
Yeah.
We do exceptionally well with that. Our tour golf ball also growing all the time. Selling a lot of tour golf balls. Again, we've got great validation on tour with guys winning majors and big tournaments with our golf balls. So, you know, I think in the modern day, you know, speaking about my competitors, other manufacturers out there, I don't think anybody's really making a bad product, to be honest. So it's just really how we position ourselves and how we market ourselves and how we service our customers, which I think can differentiate us from the rest.
I was just going to ask that. So I'm a Strix customer in this country. How do I feel belonging to something? So you don't sell directly to the public, right?
No, absolutely. No, we
you sell through your retail arms and your clubs and your golf clubs and associated and fitters. And
yeah, we're very fortunate with the support that we get from our retailers, from our fitment centers, from our on-course shops. Again, that's been developed over the years, and I think that you know, that really does help us in the fact that if there is ever an issue with a golf ball, you know, without question, we're definitely going to have a look at it and certainly replace it if need be. You know, we're not one of those who's just going to say no to every single, maybe there's a small issue with a golf ball, the guy's got a bit of an issue with it, we're more than happy to accommodate and obviously replace not only the ball, we'll probably end up giving the customer a dozen balls.
Yeah.
So we try to be...
Back up what you say.
We really do try and be... As friendly to the public and user-friendly as possible. I mean, I think it's a real key to any business, being able to, you know, back yourself and support your people who support you.
Yeah. And in the South African landscape, what's the percentage between, if you have it, between going to a store, picking up a standard set of clubs from the pro shop versus being fitted into a particular set of irons? What's the...
Yeah, so again, I think nowadays, I mean, the guys are paying quite a premium for golf clubs. So, you know, I'm a big fan of being fitted for your clubs. I think that it can only benefit you. Obviously, there's limitations that on technology. So provided you're getting the right shaft, the right head, the exact right club for you, you're going to get your optimum out of your game.
Yeah.
So unless you really do know your specs and you've possibly hit the clubs before, I mean, it's obviously an option to get it standard off the shelf. But I think when you're spending that type of money and the fitment centers we have available in South Africa, they fit at the pro shop, they fit everywhere. We've got fitters all over the place. I mean, for us, we've got our fitter, Alfred, who gets on the road and actually comes to the consumers and fits them. I think it's probably the best way to go, because you're trying to get every little inch out of your game and you're trying to really get every single inch out of the club that you can get.
Yeah. And then your everyday golf ball, which I think, again, just from a, they've done remarkably well. I don't know if it was with intent, but anything related with soft feel is almost by default related to friction.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that got into our minds, but am I wrong in saying that?
Yes, so I think it's really cool when I'm in the shops and I hear customers coming in there, and they actually, a lot of times they won't even ask for soft feel, they'll say the green box.
Yes.
Or with 80-triple-3, they'll say the blue box.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when you start hearing customers saying that, you really know that you've done a great job with those with your brand, I think.
Yeah.
I suppose it's a little bit like the photocopier industry where, you know, they used to say, we'll, what do they say?
We'll?
I don't know photocopies or papers. Ask me about golf products.
So it's when your brand, and then they say, we'll Xerox it.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah, almost like HDH or Creepy Crawly. I hear what you're saying. Yes. Creepy Crawly. It's not Creepy Crawly. I mean, there's a lot of other Creepy Crawlies, but even the competitor's Creepy Crawly is called the Creepy Crawly.
Yes.
You go to the counter and you go, here's my Creepy Crawly, and it's like, that's not a Creepy Crawly. No, but it's a Creepy Crawly.
Yes.
So I get that entirely. And
I think it's just, yeah.
I also think from a Jackson perspective, from a golf ball, I think they're really looking after the consumer from a price point, from a quality.
Yes.
And they've created that reliability in the retail environment, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, they've
created their brand within the stores, and now it's just flowing because you've done the hard graft, you looked after the price point, you looked after the consumers, and I think it's done you guys justice over time. I mean, if someone asks for soft feel, you automatically know it's a Strixon.
Yeah.
No other golf ball.
Yeah.
You don't even have to say the brand name. It's just straight to the box and it's done, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right, Arthur. I think that trust that we've built over the years with the consumer is definitely the big factor in how many two-piece or middle-of-the-range golf balls we sell.
And I'm on a soft feel this morning. So do you guys, what's your methodology in fitting? Is it ball to driver, driver to ball?
Yeah, so I mean that's an interesting conversation because a lot of fitment centers are just using range balls. So a fitment is obviously your golf clubs, but again, it's obviously the golf ball that you're using as well. So I think we don't necessarily have an order with that. I think once you establish the player's speed that he hits the golf ball at, I think you can then start narrowing it down to a few golf balls in our range.
Yeah.
So it's not a case of going through the whole range because our golf balls are based on, obviously got different compressions. And if you're dealing with a guy with a high swing speed, then you're generally looking for a golf ball with a high compression. So you narrow your scope down. And then you give him those two options to try. And I think Arthur can probably tell you more on this, but on the launch monitor, we'll obviously give feedback in terms of which golf ball, for instance, a Z-Star XV or a Z-Star would be better for you. But I mean, our golf ball fitting, it's obviously just not purely on hitting the golf ball. An important factor in the golf ball is around the green. So that's also a conversation you can have with a customer where do you prefer a very soft cover around the green or a slightly firmer cover? I mean, that's something that has to be chatted about with the consumer to try and establish what he's looking for out of the golf ball.
And it's a personal preference.
Yeah.
From a feel perspective, around the greens, from a performance, do they want, you know, a very soft feel around the greens, or do they, you know, are they that type of player that wants that release because they don't want to have that variable of spin you know, it's a unknown variable because then they catch it, then it spins, but they're playing for the release. So it all depends from customer to customer. And going to a golf ball fitting in South Africa, it's very hard because unfortunately golf balls have become expensive. And you know, for example, at Copperleaf or any other fitment centers, I don't want to mention a lot of names, those balls get stolen.
Yeah.
And it's a massive investment from a fitting perspective to, you know, buy golf balls the whole time and then also charge a decent amount of fee to give that option for the customer. So it's a tough one in South Africa. Luckily with the simulations, the fly scopes, the trackmans, all of that, you can set the ball that you're using from a range ball to a premium. So it's quite a tough thing in South Africa based on that, based on the theft, because the balls that get stolen and get sold.
That's a national problem, man.
Just a stupid example. I was at working at the Nedbank with the pros last week, and they had a range down at the 10th hole, and they had a range at Lost City. And on the second day, the guys, the staff, forgot to lock the trailer, and they stole all the Pro-V golf balls, every single Pro-V. So they got there in the morning. The guys wanted to hit their Pro-Vs. I know we're talking to Strixon today, but it's just a stupid example of golf ball fitting.
Yeah.
All the Pro-Vs were gone. So Leonard from Strixon had to drive all the way to Joburg, go grab more balls, and give them that offering for the pros on the 10th, range, if you had to call it, because the balls got stolen. So it's an unfortunate thing we deal with in South Africa. So we've got to, you know, find the middle
ground.
Yeah,
but I mean, that's a good point for everybody that's listening. Please encourage your mates, and when you see them, what I found with these golf balls, people think they take a golf ball, but there's normally a coach or whoever owns the academy is financing those balls, you know, so they have to physically purchase them. And then you have to put that losses into your cost of operating, you know, and it becomes quite a thing, and it affects everybody. So it's a weird thing that people are stealing golf range balls all the time.
I mean, the golf range ball that we manufacture, I don't think a lot of people know it out there, but it's a one-piece golf ball, and it actually goes like 10 to 15% shorter than a normal golf ball. So. Yeah. And funny enough, those also still go missing, but, you know, it's not really worth taking those because, like I say, it goes 10 to 15% shorter than a normal golf ball.
Yeah. And it's so obvious. It says restriction range.
Yeah.
And now, so you're very proud. You've been with them for a long time. What wakes you up in the morning when you go and do your thing with the customers? I mean, what drives you with this brand? Why are you so passionate about this?
Yeah, so, I mean, a little bit of history on myself is I was actually the first sponsored player in South Africa, first Strixon sponsored player. So,
oh, so you were the first, because I wanted to go into all your development and your golf.
Yeah, so I was fortunate enough to meet Mike. I did my practical. I studied sports admin and marketing at P-Tech, and I did my practical at Country Club Johannesburg. And Mike was a member there. So I was, like I said, the first sponsored player. So I've been with the brand for since it started in South Africa. So I've obviously got a deep... you know, deep affinity to the brand. So yeah, and I mean, we work with a great bunch of people at Strixon. So to be honest, getting up in the morning and going to work is actually, you know, it's a pleasure. There's always challenges like any job, but I mean, I really enjoy what I do. We've got a great team. I've got a great team of reps, lovely ladies, office staff at the office. So yeah, I mean, really, I've got. I mean, I think a lot of people listening out there would think, geez, you've got a great job. You sell golf equipment and golf balls. You must play golf all the time.
Doesn't work that way.
Well, it's not quite like that, but I do get the odd opportunity to play golf. So, yeah, I mean, I can't complain. For me, it's a fantastic job.
And Strixon, at the moment, you know, what is your drive? So what's your big strategy and your next big steps that you want to make? And also, I'm not on that same point, but if you and Arthur could just explain to us a little bit on the differences of balls, because guys, I'm in the golf industry and like Arthur very correctly always say, and this morning again, I'm not the most technical player, but it's confusing. Yeah. You go into the pro shops, there's SR, you know,
I can't even keep up at some time, honestly. Like,
okay, so then I feel so much better.
I sometimes battle to keep up with all the new stuff.
But just give me, if you don't mind, GT, just an over, and I need you to help me with three things here.
Yeah.
One, wedges. Just give us a basic, and you don't have to go into too much technical details, because that opportunity comes when you engage with a customer.
Yeah, yeah.
The second thing is the balls. And then the third thing is, what irons is the most sold? And sort of, I mean, there must be a set of irons that suits this class quite well, and then more on the professional. Yeah. So just help me as a consumer this morning, if I want to approach Strixon, where do I start?
Okay, yeah, I mean, with a golf ball, so ours is pretty simple in terms of the fact that our golf balls are different compressions. So we believe in being able to compress the golf ball to activate the core of the golf ball. So that's the inside of the golf ball with a driver. Yeah. So you want to be activating the core to be getting the best benefit out of a golf ball. So that's why we have quite a big range of golf balls. I mean, I can start with an UltiSoft golf ball, which is way down at around 40 compression. So that basically is going to suit your slower or moderate swing speed. Let's not call them slow. Moderate swing speed. And then it has a sirloin cover, which is not a tour cover, which we'll get into later. So generally, that type of golfer is not looking for spin on the green. They're actually looking for the golf ball to release.
Yeah.
So in terms of that range, which we were speaking about earlier, it's a two-piece golf ball range, is UltiSoft at 40 compression. Then you have a slightly higher compression in the soft feel. And then it goes slightly higher into the 80-333. And then we have what we call a Q-Start Tour. So a Q-Start Tour is an interesting ball. It's a fairly new ball on the market. What we established is, because we sell golf balls on compression, we established that, you know, with an 80-333 in the two-piece range being at around 70-80 compression, we found there's a gap for a guy like me who thinks he's still a good player and wants a tour cover, so he still wants some reaction and spin around the green, but I don't quite have the speed that I used to have when I was a youngster to compress a Z-Star and a XV. So a Q-Star Tour is basically a lower compression tour ball. So it has a urethane cover.
Yeah.
It's a three-piece golf ball. And its compression is slightly lower than a Z-Star and quite a bit lower than an XV. So it's basically that exactly what I say.
In-betweener.
You know, that market like me where your swing speed's coming down, but you still need that tour. You're still hoping for a better tour performance around the green.
Yeah.
And then obviously in that golf ball, we've got the multicolor golf ball, which has been a huge craze. We just can't get enough of those things. But just to the public out there, next year we're looking a bit more positive. It looks like we're going to be able to get hold of a lot more stock. It's been extremely popular. And then our highest compression golf ball would be the XV, Z-Star XV. And it's also a four-piece golf ball.
XV?
Z-Star XV.
Z-Star XV.
And that has a urethane cover. But, I mean, again, the conversation needs to be had. Obviously, swing speed is one thing. Being able to compress the golf ball is the one thing. But then we also need to establish with the consumer if they're looking for the golf ball to release around the greens, which is generally your shorter hitters. They're actually wanting the ball to roll on a bit. Or whether they're wanting some spin around the greens.
Okay.
So, so that's basically our golf ball lineup. You would look at Altisoft, Softfeel, 80333, Q-Star Tour, Z-Star, and Z-Star XV. So that is our complete lineup. Quite excited, new Z-Star coming in January, which we're looking forward to. I think there's going to be a couple new exciting options in that golf ball as well.
So it's new, but what are you guys looking to improve even further?
Yeah, so I mean, like I said earlier, the manufacturing of these golf balls is taken very seriously. In terms of the aerodynamics of the golf ball, I know in Japan they use the Japanese Air Force guys, experts and engineers to get feedback to obviously reduce drag and make the ball go a bit further. And we're always looking to improve. I mean, even if the golf ball, we find that can get the golf ball to go 1 yard further, I think everybody's extremely excited in the company, you know. So it's very tight and close margins, but we're always looking to get better.
Okay, so just on the Cleveland wedges. So tell me, Cleveland wedges this morning, I said to you, I recently purchased the 60-degree Zip core. Incredible, incredible wedge.
Best decision you've made, Albert.
But Cleveland is known. It is, and it's known since I was a youngster that Cleveland were making incredible wedges. But just give us a little bit of insight that, now I'm a consumer this morning, I'm going to go to a retailer. I'm going to go to one of the fitment center or on course. What do I approach? Because what we want to try and do, GT, is that we want the consumers to be slightly more aware of what they're purchasing and what they're asking for. Because it's like when you go to a mechanic that services your car, he will bamboozle you into anything if you don't understand exactly what they're doing.
Correct, yeah.
So help us be more educated when we go and purchase your wedges.
Yeah, so with Cleveland wedges, I mean, I'll start with super game improvement. So we have a wedge called a Cleveland Smart Sole. So basically, it comes in three different options. You get a Smart Sole G, a Smart Sole S, and a Smart Sole C. So a Smart Sole C being the chipper. So this is for guys who really, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of us have had issues where your short game's completely fallen apart and you get what people call the yips. But we don't want those people to then just pack up golf because now they can't chip. So we're trying to find a solution for them. And also, there's a lot of guys or ladies out there who struggle to get out the bunker. So we've developed these products. I mean, I think everybody knows about a chipper, but a Smart Sole S is interesting. It's got a very wide sole. It's a 58-degree wedge. And basically, the principle behind that is if you're in a bunker, provided you're making contact with the sand, whether it's quite a long way behind the ball, whether it's right next to the ball, but you have to be making contact with the sand, that sole of the club is just going to splash the ball out onto the green. I mean, we're talking about players here who are not looking to get the ball within the 4 foot circle. They just want to get out.
Yeah.
So it really does achieve that. It gets the ball out straight away, and it really is an amazing club. And then we have a Smart Sole G, which is actually your gap wedge loft. So that'll fit in as a gap wedge.
Okay.
So those are your super game improvement clubs, which come in a men's option and a ladies option. And then we go to CBX Zip Core. CBX wedges are cavity back wedges, which is something we've introduced to the market not so long ago. But I think it's very important because if you look at the percentage of how many cavity back irons are sold in the market, it's a large amount of cavity back irons. I mean, I think it's close to 70% or cavity back irons that are sold into the market. So it makes a great deal of sense to have a matching cavity back wedge that matches your set. I mean, in days gone by, it was always a blade wedge that the customer had to purchase. So I think everybody knows out there that obviously a blade is a lot harder to hit. I mean, if you're hitting it in the middle, it's all good. But if you kind of hit it a little bit off center, I think particularly with your gap wedge, if you've got a cavity back pitching wedge and then a blade gap wedge, and you hit that slightly off center, your result is drastically reduced, or your distance is drastically reduced. The wedge doesn't go very far because it doesn't have that forgiveness. So I think that the CBX Zip Core is a great option if you're buying a cavity back set, just to match feel, you know, match forgiveness,
distance
control. It's very important. And then obviously the wedge that you bought, because you're a very good player, is the Zip Core RTX Zip Core wedge, which is obviously our blade wedge, and that is our tour driven wedge. So we're getting feedback from tour players all the time on all our tour products in terms of what they're looking for out of a wedge, the bounce options, the grinds.
You've got a full face option as well.
We do have a full face as well, which is obviously the grooves go right across the face of the club from the heel to the toe. That's a wedge that's probably best suited to a better player. And I mean, that's an entire wedge option that we offer. And I think it's probably more vast and got more options and catering to more everybody out there. I mean, that's basically what we're trying to do. We're trying to have clubs for everybody playing golf, not just your tour players.
And I mean, Cleveland is known as a wedge company.
Yeah,
I
mean, for sure.
They produce great products, but they produce good wedges.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But so if you refurbish a wedge, because there's a lot of companies that refurbish wedges.
Yeah.
But people don't always realize is that if you're furnishing, let's say you refurbish a 12-year-old wedge,
yeah,
it's still 12-year-old technology. Am I right in saying that? Because now, from a looks perspective, it looks nice. The grooves are back in, but it's still different technology, and it's improved heavily or changed heavily over the last 12 years. And sometimes the ball, everything is around you has changed so much that your clubs don't necessarily synergizes with your latest modern balls. Am I often saying that?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, obviously, we make there's always developments in the wedge, but I think on refurbishing the wedge, what you've got to be careful with in terms of our wedges is that we have, in between the grooves on the wedge, we have what we call laser milling.
Mm. Okay.
So I would imagine, you know, if you're buffing the face of the wedge and buffing that wedge up, you're going to lose some of that performance. I mean, that laser milling is pretty fine milling that's in the face. And if you're refurbishing it, I would guarantee you, you're probably going to lose that milling.
Yeah, but that's a good point. We need to talk about it.
That's what I was going to touch on. So if you look at the wedge, you know, closely, it almost looks like a secondary groove.
Yeah.
If you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So you've got your normal grooves in the secondary. If you refurb that, listen, I'm not a specialist at refurb, so I can't, you know, give you actual facts, but I'm just using general knowledge. I think you're going to lose that Zip Core effect to that. And then obviously the golf balls back then were suited to the wedges back then.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's a tough one. Listen, maybe it costs you $500 to refurb a wedge. Rather trade in your wedge for $700 and spend another $1,500 or so onto a new wedge. I mean, there's wedges out there that caters for every single price point. You get what I'm saying? Or wait for the older model. So like, go buy when the Zip Core, let's say you release a new Zip Core 2.0, let's call it. Wait for the new one to launch and go buy the previous generation. It's just as good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because if you look at statistics on golf, guys are using wedges a lot on the golf course.
And long.
And a long time. Obviously, we always like to get a new big dog and a driver, but if you look how a few times you use a driver on a golf course, and obviously a wedge is where you score. So, you know, wedges are key parts of your golf bag for me. I mean, that can really shave shots off your score if you've got the right wedges in your bag and the right lofts. So for me, you know, I would be always looking at getting the options that suit my game and getting the latest one because, yeah, like I said, that can really change your handicap and make a difference on your scorecard.
Yeah, and it's I suppose it's in that mindset that somebody just understands, you know, on new technology and how it develops. And the other part for me as well, the GT is just on the wages seems to be something we keep in our bags for quite some time. I don't know if that if you guys find the same. I mean, I've got that. Oh, my dad gave me this wedge, you know. But you're not going to hit with a driver your dad gave you, which was 20 years ago. So it becomes an important part of your game. And then on the restriction side, okay. So it's also confusing. And and I think a lot of amateurs wouldn't want to admit this always, but when you walk in there, it's quite overwhelming. So now we all understand the principle is blade is going to be less forgiving. Yeah. And hear me out if I say it as simple as that. You also know that the more cavity, the more forgiveness you're going to get. So that's what we understand, I would say, in a general sense from amateurs.
Yeah.
But now I go into the place, and make no mistake, everybody that's listening, when it comes to the restriction team, it's even yourself, GT, you know, you've got, you were a Springbok professional player. You played on the tour for 9 years. You know, it's not like you're coming from a place of you were
making tires.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Or, you know, you're coming out of some industry and they say to you, listen, here's a sales job available at Triction. You're an industry professional, which then turned into an industry specialist. So the advice and what you got, where you guys come from is also not just from random spots.
Yeah.
You know, you understand what you are selling.
Yeah, so, I mean, with the Strixen brand, in terms of the hardware, we've just launched a new range, ZX. It's called Mark II or MK2.
Okay.
So, in that range, we have, if we want to talk about irons, we have a family of irons in that range, a ZX4, a ZX5, and a ZX7.
Okay.
So, perhaps this is also when the fitting aspect really comes into it and becomes quite important, because these irons, although they're a family, and if you look at them from the top, they all look the same, because we're trying to promote a combo set, because most amateurs struggle to hit a long iron. So if they want to buy a ZX7 set, you know, the 4 and the 5, there's a little bit more difficult to hit than the ZX5 4 and a 5 iron, or the ZX4 4 and a 5 iron. So we're trying to promote a combo set. They all look the same from the top, but the technology in the irons is completely different, and it's also dependent on what the golfer is looking to get out of an iron. So just in short, a ZX5 iron and a ZX4 iron is going to go a long way, just purely because of the way it's designed. The ZX5 has a SUP10, a high-strength steel face, which really creates ball speed, whereas your ZX7 is completely forged. So that's more of a feel-based iron, and, you know, not your customer necessarily looking to get a great deal of distance out of an iron. I mean, a lot of people say, but why do you want to get a distance out of an iron? Well, you know, obviously, in my opinion, depending on how your game is, it's a lot easier hitting an 8-iron than it is a 6-iron, just purely because an 8-iron's shorter than a 6-iron in length, so you're going to have a little bit more control. But, yeah, that's where it can become confusing with the consumer when you see three different ranges of irons. But trust me, they're completely different make. I mean, the ZX4 is a hollow construction, which means it's hollow inside.
And that means what?
Well, so it's hollow bodied.
It's hollow bodied, so they can move we can move the center of gravity further back and lower low in the face
to help it get in the air.
So it depends.
So it's more of a player's club.
No,
it's more of a
forgiveness.
It's a game improvement iron.
Game improvement iron. I was confusing.
It depends what
two.
The player's looking for, and that's where that discussion about fitment is probably very important, because, you know, then you can just go and try the three different irons and see the results on the monitor. See which ones you're getting the best result out of.
Mm. So, Albert, just to use you as an example, if you came for a Strixen fitting, you're a decent golfer, you've got no issue with striking the golf ball. Now, not a lot of companies do combo sets. So, just by playing with you yesterday, for example, and categorizing you with Strixen, I would put you in a 4-5-6 iron in the ZX5. Slightly bigger head, a slightly thicker sole, easier to hit, if you get what I'm saying.
Okay.
Then your 7-8-9 pitching wedge would be the ZX7, because you don't have an issue of striking the golf ball from a 7-9 to pitching wedge.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now you've got a combo.
Okay.
They used to call it back in the day a pro combo, because the pros could only come.
I was just going to ask, that would only be really reserved for the pros that can pick
that
any.
Well, that was the stigmatism behind it. So it used to be called a pro combo, because a lot of the pros used to combine their sets, if you had to go back in the years. So Strixen really looks after the consumers from that perspective, because now when you go for a fitting, the fitters have got versatility to break up the sets.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's not now you really love the ZX7 irons from the 7 to pitching wedge, but you can't strike the 4 iron. Then the guys start getting rid of the 4 iron sitting there, then they go to a hybrid. Now, they've spent X amount, then they still need to spend X amount on a 4 hybrid. So they're really, really looking after the consumers from that perspective so that you can actually build the set according to a player's profile.
So now in South Africa, if I go, I get fitted at a, let's say, the pro shop this morning or golfers club or whatever that might be. How does that work and how quickly do you turn that around?
Yeah, so I mean, like we said earlier, we carry the components, so the heads and the shafts. So if it's a combo set or if it's just purely a custom set with different shafts to the standard shafts we offer, our turnaround time is from order placed to delivery because we allow 2 days for the delivery time.
Okay.
So you're looking at 4 days, 5 days max.
That quick turnaround.
Yeah, we do have times of the year where unfortunately we do need to chat to our consumer and just give us maybe an extra day because we're extremely busy. But I mean, generally, for most part of the year, the customer should receive his clubs within 5 days from placing his order.
So I get fitted this morning, the order is placed. Yeah, who gets that order?
You'll pick it up at Shikshin will get the order.
Shikshin gets the order locally.
Yeah, so if we get the order this morning and it goes into the workshop this morning.
Yeah.
Well, let's just say
that workshop is in South Africa with people behind it that builds it.
Correct, yes. Okay. Let's just say we receive the order in the middle of the day. The order will go into the workshop the following morning.
Yeah.
Our building process, we don't use quick set glue. We use slow set glue because we find it obviously is a lot stronger.
Okay.
So it'll go into the workshop tomorrow morning. It'll dry overnight and then it'll be finished off and touched off the next morning and it'll be on its way probably that afternoon. So to be safe, 5 days definitely.
That's
so
incredible turnaround.
For me, from a True Fit perspective, Shikshin is a dream.
But that's what I was going to say, because we are a little bit in a society where you want immediate gratification.
A guy will come get fitted.
5 days, I'll wait. A customer, 4 weeks?
A customer will come get fitted, let's call it on a Tuesday or Wednesday. And the job will get done, you'll get fitted. And you'll say, I'm playing the most important match on my life on Saturday. Like it's like he's playing a major.
Yeah.
I need it before the weekend. But
yeah, because before that, for 4 years, all of a sudden, for 4 years, I've been playing.
most of the builds are urgent.
Almost every build. What's amazing is when the fitting started, there was no emergency.
So
I don't know if you guys have picked that up.
Yeah.
But at the end, listen, by the way, just so you know, Saturday, most important day of my life. I need it tomorrow.
I always joke around with Daryl, which is my rep for Shikshin. And I always say to him that they use slow set just to give them a bit more time and delay to like say, listen, it's going to be 5 days. It's not going to be done tomorrow.
Yeah. So GT, and then the most important thing, which really often I speak about a lot, and I'm sort of pushing service providers to be better. A lot of us are good up front, okay? You this morning, you're good with us. You fitted well. You smile and wave. I get my clubs. The next morning, something goes wrong. The week after that, something goes wrong. You know, the club, there's a handle that's a little bit off-center or it feels a little bit that way. What is the after-service approach with Shikshin in South Africa as well?
Yeah, so now that's very important to us. So if that happens, then the urgency is stepped up to make sure that we get that club fixed. So obviously with the reps we have on the road, and myself included, we'll make sure that we get that club back to the office as quick as we can and return it in its correct form as quick as we can.
Yeah.
You know, that's obviously something we pride ourselves on. And I think, like Arthur says, we try and get our turnaround time right. I mean, we've got a great club builder. He's been building clubs for, I think, close on how old I am. So he's been there for moons. He's brilliant. And that is very important because a customer, I mean, I understand. I also obviously buy stuff from shops, Sportsman's Warehouse, when I buy stuff for my kid. If something goes wrong, the urgency's got to be stepped up because the customer's already been waiting for 3-4 days for his clubs. Now he receives them. You know, the last thing I want is for him to be unhappy.
But from my side, I don't see a lot of returns from Shikshin. I think their systems that they've set up in place from their quality check, you know, they follow a really good process.
Yeah.
A club is going to get checked probably 10 times before it gets sent. So
yeah.
From a Shikshin, let's call it a Shikshin group perspective, you're getting quality out of their building room.
And then the other part I just wanted to say to you, and this is maybe a little bit personal, GT, but thank you for the support for the local market and for all the players. We don't have access to the funds and the sponsorships because we don't have 30 million golfers. We don't have 20 million golfers. We have 180,000 amateurs, which drives a lot of that economy. But Gary Player said something incredibly interesting last night. Golf, out of all the sports in the world, golf is one of the most charitable that raises funds for organizations and charities around the world. His words last night, golf is the number one sport in the world that raises funds for development and charities and, organizations. That includes, he included all the big leagues like baseball and basketball, NBA, all of that. That was all, and that was so incredible. So thank you also that you guys, in a market like South Africa, which I know is not your big markets like Japan and America and Europe, but thank you that you guys also put money into the local players here and support people the way that you do. There's a lot of players that I know very personally that's gone on the journey with Shrikshan, and it's always speak of the highest nature when they speak about you guys.
No, that's great to hear, Albert. I mean, it's a mutual relationship. We're looking after them. They're representing us in a great way, like you say. They're getting our brand out there. So they're doing a great job for us. So, I mean, obviously it's an investment, but it's definitely a worthwhile investment. And like you say, I mean, in South Africa, I proudly say we definitely sponsor the most players out of any brand out there.
Well, that's incredible for us. And Arthi?
From a driver point of view with Shrikshan,
I was going to ask you to quickly raise that.
Is unreal. I was chatting to Ryan Fox at the Nedbank last week, and he was just speaking great things. I know he's a sponsored player, but some Shrikshan players don't even play their woods. The new driver and fairway is unreal. Guys, give it a chance. Hit it. They've done really, really good things to it.
Yeah, so the exciting things, I mean, the woods are really exciting to me. I know our irons have always been great, but the woods to me is a big, there's big changes.
Mm.
Looks really different to the previous model. Although, having said that, the previous model, we did win the British Open and a Masters with it. So
and some European events.
Yeah, we won the British PGA a few weeks ago with it as well. So it's obviously it was a good driver, but I do see great improvements in this new driver, and I'm excited to hear what guys like you at the Fitbin Centre say about it, because, I mean, I've seen the results. I've tested it myself. But obviously, we're not testing it against other brands, guys, like you are. Mm. So, like I said, it's only just gotten onto the market. So I'll definitely be chatting to Arthur to try and see what kind of numbers we're getting out of the driver. But yeah, so it's very exciting. We've got three different options in the driver, which we haven't had before. Like you say, the price point's great. We managed to stay at a price point that's competitive. I mean, we all understand that golf equipment's expensive. I mean, this is packed with technology. But being able to keep the price point was fantastic for me.
Two things that I want to touch on, and I've got a customer, Steph. I'm not going to mention his surname, but he'll be excited about this topic, Zexio. So Zexio is a very, very underrated golf club. Very forgiving, very easy to hit. I mean, the R&D and the design going into Zexio is just hectic. I mean, every component matches. It's designed with a purpose. So I think we need to tap into Zexio a little bit, from the lightweight option to the forgiveness option to the CG to getting the ball in there. I think that's a really good topic that I think we need to touch on.
Yeah, so... Yeah, it's probably one of our best kept secrets is the Zexio brand. It really is. It's remarkable, actually. So basically, with Zexio, it's clubs that we've designed purely for a moderate swing speed player to improve their results for a moderate swing speed player. So,
what's defined as a moderate swing speed player?
Okay, in inverted commas, slow.
Okay, yeah, got it. So
pretty slow swinger, yeah.
A slow swinger, and that could be a little bit with age, but it also could be
a youngster.
A youngster,
correct. Well, a lady golfer.
Yeah,
as well,
lady golfer. So. My apologies. Yeah.
So I mean, I think basically how I like to put this brand is we have Shrikshan, which is a tour driven brand. We have Cleveland, which is your everyday country club golf member brand. Then we have Zexio, which is specifically designed to improve that slow swinger. So we're not, what I'm saying is I'm not taking a Strix and Tour product and then just putting in a senior shaft because obviously he swings slowly or she swings slowly or a lady shaft. Because a golf club is not just the shaft. Obviously you're looking at the head and everything that goes with it. So it is really remarkable in the fact that some of the results we see for slow swingers, particularly with a driver, with the irons, but with a driver, for example, I mean, it's not uncommon for me to see somebody who's not using the right equipment and swinging slowly change to Zexio and actually gain, you know, 15 to 20 meters off the tee. It's really is substantial. It's one of the products where we have the most substantial gains, provided it's being hit by the right person. It's remarkable to see. And I mean, basically how it works, Arthur will know, is obviously with age, or if you're a youngster or a lady, you don't have as much speed. And speed is what enables you to launch the golf ball into the air. So what you'll find with this golfer is they're generally not launching the ball properly, so they're not getting the result they should. Whereas, like Arthur said, with his extreme lightweight clubs, I mean, with the driver shaft being around 37 grams, extremely lightweight, and the technology that they've put into the golf club makes it very easy to launch. So that golfer is probably launching it at way too low, 7-6 degrees, and he just can't get it up, or she just can't get it up in the air. She's not getting the best result out of the golf club. Whereas with a Zexio driver, all of a sudden they're launching it at the optimum angle, whether it be 12 degrees or whatever it is, depending on their speed. And that results in huge, huge gains. I mean, it's in terms of our brands in the US, it's probably the fastest growing in the US is the Zexio brand. Just to touch on the technology, as Arthur said, the titanium they use is actually the same titanium they use in airplanes. So it's extremely strong, extremely flexible. And they have to use such high strength titanium because they're making the face so thin. And obviously the last thing we want is the club collapsing. Our brand ambassador is Ernie Els. So when I say brand ambassador, he represents us in all our brands, being Strixen, Cleveland, and Zexio. So he actually uses a Zexio driver. Obviously not with a 37-gram shaft, because Ernie's still got a bit of speed, but he represents us with a driver. He uses Strixen iron, Strixen golf ball, and Cleveland wedges. So he's an ambassador for all three of our brands.
Yeah, I think the tech that goes into Zexio is crazy. So from the head to the ferrule to the shaft to the grip,
yeah,
everything is designed for that purpose. So the grip's lighter, the ferrule's lighter, everything is, which is going to attain speed.
Yeah.
So if a guy's swinging at 70 miles an hour with the driver, round number, putting in a 37-gram shaft, lighter club, etc., with the right loft, you're going to get more speed because it's easier to swing something faster if it's lighter.
Yeah.
So there's many purposes in that golf club that will benefit a senior, lady, junior golfer. And like you said, the tech is not cheap as well. It's very, very good tech that's involved in that golf club, which is great. I think it's a secret brand, let's call it, but it's a really, really good performing brand. I'm excited about it because it really looks after the guys that's actually passionate about it, who's going to play until they're 80 years old, etc., and want to enjoy the game. And at the end of the day, for me and for their brand, I think they're trying to look after each category of a golfer, which is crucial.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing more exciting than seeing your driver go. I mean, if you're playing at your local club, you generally know how far you're hitting it, and there's nothing more exciting than being a further 15 or 20 meters down the fairway, having a shorter second shot into the green. And like Arthur says, I mean, the clubs, I mean, we have been preaching fitting. There is a fitting aspect to this club in terms of what flex shaft. So we have shafts available in regular and stiff. Because of the lightweight, the regular is actually plays like a senior and the stiff close to a regular because of how light the shaft is. But it's quite interesting in the fact that the grips are even different weights in a fairway wood, in a driver. So obviously the club needs to be finely balanced, and it does make it quite difficult to balance when you've got such a light shaft. So we don't recommend changing shafts and shortening the club or putting in a different grip, a heavier grip, because it does mess a little bit with the finely balanced weight of the club.
Yeah, but Arthur, the reason that it sounds like Strixen is, you know, it's not about being everything to everyone. There's focus within each of these divisions.
Correct.
Yeah. You've got Cleveland that's, you know, focusing, yes, on the irons, and I'm not taking anything away from it, but there's focusing on wedge. It's a wedge company. It's what they're known for, and every brand has got something they're known for. Then you've got Srixion, and then you've got the Zexo as well now that allows you to gain a little bit more distance. But I just want to ask there. So I go and we hear it in the Srixion irons range as well, where there's clubs that allows you a little bit more forgiveness, you know, it gives you a little bit more bounce. What is the fundamental difference? Is it purely on the titanium and the weight of it that club is what produces that particular material that allows you to get that bounce? Or can a Srixion iron do a very similar job for me when it comes to making it more, more of a game improvement club?
Yeah, I think the biggest difference would be with a Srixion club and a Zexio club would be in the shaft.
Okay.
So there's Zexio 12 model and there's a Zexio X model, which is we brought out for the better player. So you'll find in the Zexio 12, it's quite an offset iron. It's got quite a big head, so yeah, it's very forgiving. But it's titanium. Whereas a lot of the Srixion product is forged, so the titanium is to try and get more ball speed, to try and get more launch. But I think, yeah, like the biggest difference would probably be in the fact that the shafts are substantially lighter and allowing that slower swinger to gain some more speed and to be able to launch the ball easier.
And also the weight, the perimeter weighting in the head obviously plays a huge factor of getting the ball in the air versus a player's golf club, which is more forward. So there's many, many aspects in the tech that assists the ball to get in the air as well.
I mean, for instance, like if you had to just put one of those Zexio shafts into a Srixion product.
I was just going to ask that.
Yeah, so that, you're not going to get the benefit because, again, the technology in the head as well is very different to a Srixion head if you're talking about the driver. So obviously a lot more weight will be concentrated towards the back of the driver to lower the CG, get the CG, the center of gravity, further back. So it's all about trying to get that driver to launch, whereas a Srixion driver is not necessarily trying to get that with our drivers. Generally, you're speaking about a golfer who can launch the ball purely because they've got the club head speed.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, your good golfer is probably looking to knock spin off a driver, whereas your slow swinger is probably more likely to be looking to increase his spin,
sure, right, yeah,
to keep the ball in the air. So it's a different golfer altogether.
And then, Arthur, I just want you to touch a little bit on the driver on Srixion as well, and the new driver that's being launched. You know, and quite correctly, what you mentioned to us, you know, it's just won a major master not too long ago. But dive into that, just give the
reason why I brought that up earlier is, like, I can use TrueFit as an example. I mean, 1 out of 100 customer will ask about the Srixion driver. And I think where they're situated at from an R&D and a tech perspective, I think they've jumped through the hoop.
Leaps and bounds.
Yeah, big time.
Why? Why was that? What's going on at Srixion? Why is that the move being made?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the goal and the directive is to sell more drivers. And I think with tour feedback that we get in the Srixion driver, it goes a long way to improving the driver. So the feedback that we received from the tour players, obviously the R&D department that we have, you know, they're in close communication. They're testing all the time. I think what's cool as well about this new driver is that we do have different options. You know, we've always had a ZX7 and a ZX5 driver. We've now got a ZX7 driver, which is basically your smaller head or your more tour authenticated driver, if you want to say, easier to shape. We do have a ZX5 driver as in the previous model, but we've added in a ZX5 LS driver. So we're trying to obviously cater from a fitting perspective to every single corner that we can. I think just purely aesthetically, you know, that's got a lot to do with the driver.
Yeah,
I think there's no question that our ball speed that we get from our driver is fantastic. But aesthetics plays a pretty important role in a good golfer when he's putting that head down. He's got to like what he's seeing. And I think with what we've done with the new drivers, they've achieved that definitely. I mean, the finish of the driver is fantastic. the toes rounded off a little bit more, so it does appear to be sitting a little bit more open, which generally your better player likes to see. And, yeah, I think luckily we were able to keep the price point the same. I mean, it's tough times at the moment, but we feel that that if provided we get customers to hit this driver, it's just going to be success as long as people are hitting it. We got our training specifically from the R&D guys in the US. We did a live conference call with them, and it was pretty cool to hear directly from the guys who actually designed the product. And you know, there's some exciting aspects to the driver. You'll see on the driver, it's got a rebound frame, which is effectively, I'm not going to go too much into the tech, but effectively, your face of your driver is your first trampoline, if you want to call it. And rebound frame, all we've done is put an extra layer of titanium behind the first layer, which is the face. So effectively, you've got a trampoline, and the second layer is like the springs of the trampoline. So yeah, you've got a double spring to the driver. So the results have been phenomenal with that, and I think that's one of the main points to getting ball speed, because that's what we're all trying to do with the driver, is to increase the ball speed.
Yeah.
So the results I've seen, that the ball speed increased really, really good, and I think that's one of the things that's going to sell the driver for us. But again, I mean, the consumers out there, I know we're all brand specific and everybody has their favorites, but it's a good idea to try as many as you can just to see. I mean, you never know. You could be getting a benefit out of a Schickson driver that you never knew was there.
Yeah, and I also think that we're going towards a world at the moment where brands should sit together. They should, you know, I understand they're all competitive in their field, but the consumers don't want to see war. You know, we just really appreciate the options and the choices. And also, what I really respect about all the OEMs sitting, nobody's really bashing any brands. You know, nobody's sitting here and saying this. And you said it so beautifully, GT, a while back, where you said there isn't really much shit on the market. You know, it's not like a lot of people are making complete shit at the market. But I really enjoy the fact that we have to see, so sitting from a general perspective, why are these brands making all these different shapes, sizes, colors, ups and downs, you know, this head, that head? It's because the market is going towards choice and fit for purpose. Mm. And every single swing, I mean, this is just, there's not a single swing. So even if a robot swings today with that arm that you see all around, there is a difference in rotation on a robotic arm every single time that swings. I don't know if a lot of consumers understand that. So if you think you are going to be consistent in your application, and a robot that's been designed to do the same swing 1,000 times at the same way can't even get that right. You know, another part, we spoke about it yesterday, a lot of times you see people roll, what's that? You start the ball at the top, they roll it.
Is that the stump machine?
Stump machine.
Yes.
You roll 5 balls off the exact same spot, it has 5 different results, right? And that just shows you, you know, every single thing in golf, and it's going towards understanding a little bit more, not to be overwhelmed, but go and sit and speak to the specialist, but also bring your own knowledge to the game. There's a second point you wanted to raise.
Second point is just briefly chatting about putters.
Yeah.
So I think in the last 3-4 years, Cleveland has really done a good job in designing putters. Putters are not expensive. To get a putter under $5,000 these days is very, very hard. I know it's a important golf club in the bag. I think it's very, very important, if not the most important.
But Gary Player said last night the most important.
Correct. Yeah. So I think Cleveland has really done a good job from a design aspect, from a look aspect, from a feel aspect. I mean, they're ticking all the boxes, you know, and the price point is very affordable, especially for the guys who are starting golf, the guys that, you know, want all the boxes ticked and they don't want to spend $5,000 or more on a putter. I think their putter is unbelievable. I would putt with that putter. They've got very, very good designs and very good finishes and different models, and he would obviously be able to touch a bit about that.
Yeah, thanks, Arthur. You know, we've got a great lineup of putters. I mean, we've got Cleveland Frontline putters, which we've had on the market for a little while now. But just recently, we launched a putter called a Cleveland HB Soft Milled Putter, which is obviously in the name, it says it's a milled face to the putter. But I think the important thing is that we've got, like Arthur says, we've got all the tour-proven shape heads that that are popular and obviously covering all the bases in terms of strokes. Just briefly on the putter, it's a great price point for what you're getting. It's got all the bells and whistles. It's $3,499 at a suggested retail price. Again, something to look out for maybe on the putters. I mean, I have trained the sales guys, and hopefully my sales team have trained their guys. But if you see the putters in the shop and you're having a look at them, you'll see that there's putters with three lines and there's putters with one line. So basically, the putters with the three lines to line up with are face balance putters, which generally better suits a straight back, straight through stroke. And you'll see the others with the one line is basically a toe down putter. So if you held the putter in your hand, you'd see the toe would wobble down to the ground, whereas a face balance putter, the face would carry on facing the ceiling. So obviously your toe down putter is more suited to your arcing stroke. So arcing on the way back, coming through, and arcing on the way through. So yeah, I mean, we've got all the options available there. Putter looks really good. Mm-hmm. Another thing to note, you'll see, is on the straight back, straight through putter with the three lines, it's got a slightly thicker grip because obviously on that type of stroke, you're not as active with your hands. And then the one line putter's got a slightly thinner grip, which allows you to have a little bit of rotation in your hands through the stroke.
What's so amazing when you guys speak this way is amateurs, what they don't understand is there's such a focus from the OEMs to understand everybody's, there's so many variables, and you try and accommodate all of those particular variables.
Yeah, so I think for the consumer out there, I mean, everybody knows Tiger Woods out there. So I think when he putted the best, he had a toe down putter,
correct,
which is more like a, if you want to call it, a thinner shaped putter, where most, you know, a blade, but just simpler terms. I mean, and most of the face balance putters, most of them, I say, or generally your wider or your bigger mallet type putter, yeah. Just to give them a bit more insight on those.
And just going from a mallet to blade perspective, and I tell my customers all the time, listen, a blade is a beautiful putter. But if you've got a 50-foot putt and you miss hit that blade, you're going to be 15-foot short, 10, 15-foot short. Where the mallet, because it's got higher MOI, moment of inertia, which is in English just the sweet spot, and you miss hit a mallet, you might be 5 or 6, 7 foot short. So yes, it's a lot easier to get the ball closer to the hole. Also, the face is a lot more stable. Someone is, you know, not as good as Tiger Woods. You know, there is a different putter for everyone that ticks all the boxes. So just remember, choosing a putter based on looks obviously will revert to feel, which is great, but there's a lot more detail in there for consistency purposes and to actually make it easier for you when you are putting.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that, because it is an important part of the way we make putters, is also similar to the clubs, where, like Arthur says, based on the miss hit. So, you know, if you miss hit a putt from 40 foot, you'd rather be 5 foot short, correct, than miss hitting it and being 15 foot short. So just to touch on that and the technology on the Cleveland HB Soft putter that's out there, if you look closely at the mill pattern and the face, the milling is different on each putter design. And that's basically to create more forgiveness across the face. So if you are miss-hitting a putt,
yeah, off-center or whatever, yes, correct, it might be.
Yeah, so you'll see, basically, if towards the center, you'll see the grooves are a lot closer, so there's less ball contact on the face, because there's more grooves, more sharper grooves, where as you get towards the heel and toe, the grooves get wider. So if you're mishitting it, there's more ball contact on the face, and that allows for a bit of forgiveness on a mishit.
But an important point there, because I bet you and I, most consumers, no, don't know that there's a more forgiving putter than, yeah, others. We know it as a driver and an iron. Mm. That, and we all know that in traditional sense, it comes with a slightly bigger head. Now you're going to know that guy's going to get a lot more forgiveness out of it. It's not going to be as thin, so it doesn't feel like you can get under it as easy. Yeah. But on the putting side, that I didn't even myself know. Mm. But
yeah, I mean, it's a similar principle to your clubs. The smaller the looking the club, obviously, the more difficult. I say if you're hitting it in the middle, then there's no problem at all, but correct, obviously it's not as forgiving. And it's the same principle with the putter. The bigger the putter, the more forgiving it generally is.
But even on the, you know, you mentioned something which I really related to a little bit on ego, you know, when it comes to, you know, South African market, and I think around the world as well. You know, I shouldn't be probably playing with the blades that I do, you know, and Arthur there, he so correctly, you know, started shaking there. But At my peak of playing golf, I played with a blade. Mm. And now I refuse to say I cannot, I should still be able to play with a blade. But here's the reality. As amateurs, and especially as amateurs, we unfortunately have a far, our stats lean a far more to missing the ball and not having center hits, far more than, you know, center hits. So if you look at it from a non-emotional perspective and you have an Excel spreadsheet in front of you, and there you can see, Albert, on average, 80% of the time you don't hit the middle of the face. Therefore, you have fitted yourself with clubs for the 20% of the time versus the 80% of the time.
Correct. Like for me, for my job, listen, and I might sometimes in the fitting, you know, sound arrogant or cocky. Not, it's not for my benefit. Trying to get the information across to the consumer so they can be educated, so that they can enjoy the game and actually get improvement out of the game. I'm not going to push you in a corner and say, listen, you're a cuck, you can't play blades or X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
But rather educate why. Why are we going in this route? And I really want guys in the industry and in South Africa to educate the consumers to buy the right product. I mean, it's expensive. It's key to get the right product suited to your needs. It's going to make the game more enjoyable. It's going to make the game more easier. You're going to want to play more golf. You get what I'm saying? You're not fighting with yourself. And I think that is crucial. And I find that is the biggest focus point that people need to look at, because there's so many options. It's endless. You get what I'm saying? There's every golf club, every putter, every wedge that suits everyone's needs. And I think it's crucial to speak about and put that out there and educate the buyers and the consumers. You get what I'm saying? Because it's needed.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you always want to be positive and we like to be positive. But if you think about it quite simply, that the golf club's quite small and the golf ball is also small.
Yes.
And I think it's probably the only sport where the ball's not moving when you're hitting it as well. So it's a tough game. You know, you don't want to be thinking negatively. You always want to be positive, but it is a tough game. And I mean, I like to think about it as well. If you've got a long shot over water and you've got a 4-iron in your hands and you slightly mishit it and it goes in the water, I mean, that happens to everybody. But if you've got the right clubs for you and it's maybe one that's a bit more forgiving and you mishit it slightly, that thing might just creep over
the water. Might just creep over the water, yeah.
It's something to think about.
And then your average percentage just automatically gets better.
It's all about percentages.
It's all about that gains.
Not necessarily playing for the miss, because it's the wrong way of looking at it,
but
rather making sure your percentages are better.
Or you accommodate that
You're
risk.
Accommodating the miss. So, you know, let's say you miss hit a blade and you hit it 150, now it goes 125.
Yeah.
Where you have more of an oversized club that you hit 150, it might go 142.
Yeah.
Now you're covering whatever you need to cover, whether it's water, bunker, you might still get front edge where now you're 15 meters short and now you still need to rely on a wedge or Texas wedge, they call it.
Yes. So. Well, to the everyday consumer, we spend a lot of time. We go and watch a movie this evening. You know, it's out of our heads, out of our minds. So take the time to sit down, listen to the providers and the big boys sitting in front of us, the guys with the technical expertise. But I will end with this and just say to you that I also think marketing companies play a big role on where we are with clubs, because you can just imagine your R&D team, your development team, the feedback that they get, the data sheets that they work from. And then all we see is Brooks Koepka on a billboard. Yeah. That's the reality. It's not like they say, look at this driver, he's using it for this. This is the type of driver. It's purely a perception. And then most of the time what happens, and I hear this all the time, consumers walk in and say, can I please have that driver? Mm. Well, you don't have that speed. You didn't get that fitted. You know, there's a lot more angles
and behind. Justin Thomas putter.
Yeah, exactly. Bryson DeChambeau. I know for a fact sold a shitload of clubs for them, but there's a lot more to it. And I think we also need to not be so naive, you know, in what we do. But thank you for the role that you guys play. Thank you for being here in this country for so long. The commitment from a one big brand to be in this country since 90.
97,
that's a lot of time and money and economy that you guys also bring to the country, you know. And we always forget that because golf is always seen as this fancy sport, but we're trying to change that because it's actually a fantastic sport for the everyday golfer. And thank you very much for opening up about your brand here this morning. I looked last night, and I'm not saying we're going to nail it here because we're still learning as a show ourselves. But last night, I could not find anything local from local voices on Shrixion. Bits and pieces, but even your pages, it's all American players. It's all European players and Asian players. And that's, we always said it's incredible. And I'm not saying if you look at the South African support that you see there, you can see it all over the pages. But then the first brand video that you see is not with Jaco Allers. You know, it's with one of the big brands in America. So I'm excited that consumers are still the driving economy in golf. We still control a little bit of this. And thank you for the teams that are putting the effort. Because in our perception is that OEMs make new clubs to drive new sales on a yearly basis. That's the reality how we feel.
Okay, so we every 2 years, eh?
And you every so you actually are very reserved.
That's actually great.
That's actually a great point.
Buy a Shrixion or Cleveland product, you know, it's not going to get phased out like this.
Yeah, they phased out like that.
Yeah, so, which is actually very, very good.
Yeah. So, Shrixion this morning, I hope it's not just the soft feel ball. There's a lot more to Shrixion. And with all the new products and stuff like that, I'm sure we are a lot more advised and we know a lot more about Shrixion. But thank you for your time that you were here this morning. And I just want to relate that we all sit here, these big names, but you've also got a family. And you said, like you said to me this afternoon, you've got a son in the swimming gala this morning. You know, so no matter what we do in life, we all still just human. You know, we wake up with a good day and a bad day. So when these guys, they go for 100% success rate every now and every day of their lives. But if we slip up every now and again, they're human guys, make contact with them again and say, can we sort this out? And also the incredible support. I mean, there's a lot of economy around the Shrixion brand. I mean, all of these guys that make a living from selling the clubs and all other different ones as well. So thank you for your time this morning, Arthur. Thanks for your technical help this morning. I was quite nervous when any of these big OEMs come onto the studio. But
I've got your back.
Yeah, and they can't talk shit on this show because Arthur knows all of your stuff. So thank you very much. And I just want to end up again saying just thank you for everybody supporting this. This is absolutely incredible. And also all the people behind the scenes. So thank you very much.
No, pleasure, Albert. Just from my side, I think it's great to be able to communicate with the consumers. I mean, we do it occasionally, but I mean, to have this platform, I think is brilliant for golf, and I think it's going to do golf great good. Thank you very much to you.
Thanks, GT. I appreciate it. And send love to the entire team there today.
No, we will do. Thank you, man.
Thanks, Arthi.
Perfect.
Thanks, Arthi.
Thanks, guys.
That's a wrap.
On the next episode of the Human Golf Show.
Any other tournament in the world, you've always had to pay your own way. You've got to get there on your own steam. So you're paying your flight ticket, not just for yourself if you're taking your family with. Then you're paying for your accommodation. Some events, they tend to now and then give us a car for the week. So that's how it's always been. Liv has decided they're going to actually use the players and really look after them.